Welcome everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. Today I'm going to discuss contemplative conversations in our classrooms, and I'll give you a little bit of context to that with some photos. So I have been a part of Catholic education since my commencement of school, so that was when I was five, and I've travelled through my schooling in Catholic education, which I've loved, and especially have some really, really good memories and experiences, and of which some of them were also mirrored at home, having a mum who's quite into her faith and really loves to experience and share that. Though sometimes these days that's actually a luxury, because lots of children don't have this mirrored at home. They go to school, they might go to a religious school, but at home it might be a very different environment. So the reason why I would like to give this conversation is I think this is an area of need in our schools, particularly in Catholic education. So as a teacher now, I'm at my third school, and I've also seen the same gaps where we're teaching RE and we're teaching different concepts, but we're kind of missing supporting our children in developing their own spirituality. So I'm going to dive into that a little bit today. So why do we do this? So St. Teresa of Avila quote said, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes of which Christ looks out his compassion to the world. Yours are the feet in which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. We're the people that can help the future generations with their spirituality." So here's an abstract of my abstract. We teach children to put their hand up to speak. They communicate in a very specific way. They know the rules and the routines, you know, and something we teach quite a lot to little ones is, you know, you're being an active listener. You're sitting down and you're looking, you're using your eye contact, ears listening, and the whole body contact, everything is there to be able to listen. But what I find something missing is that children don't know how to actually listen to those sensitive movements of the spirit and that of which God is giving to us. And sometimes children don't know that it doesn't, they don't know that that even exists. And they haven't had an opportunity to develop that. When it comes to meditation and our spirituality, sometimes they pair very closely, actually always. Most of the theme of our couple of days has been a lot on meditation. And it can be the gatekeeper of supporting our children with their own faith journey and their spirituality too. So through something like Lectio Divina, which Chris often says is very, very organic, and I truly believe that it's something very natural, but it has a system and a procedure that can help guide children in their spirituality and give them an experience that has a, you know, a framework, but not one that has just been dictated to them. It's just a flowing, really, really beautiful experience. So they will experience that through Lectio, Meditatio, Oratio, and Contemplatio as a group, maybe. So this experience, I'm hoping to give you an experience when I talk today. So rather than hearing me give you the facts, I want you to have this experience as well. I think of Lectio Divina as a seriously good meal. It's nourishing, it tastes good, and it's a very, very good experience all up. Recently, I went to Korea for a friend's wedding, and Korean food is incredible, firstly, but also there's so many varieties of it and so many experiences you can have, and particularly when you're on holiday, you get a lot more of those really cool experiences. I'll tell you one moment of one of these images. It's the one on the far right where there's a beautiful strawberry and cream cake. You've got your warm, your hot tea with lemon and honey and a sandwich at the back. The context of this photo was taken in a cafe of a town I have no idea the name of, but it felt like it was in amongst the hills. It was raining outside. It was pretty cold. There were trees everywhere. And you got to have this whole immersion of an experience of this meal. Each taste, I still remember, but I can't replicate it even. It was just that moment, and it was super special being able to look out and see what was around me. Lectio Divina can be like this experience if we give children an opportunity. So firstly, I want you to take a moment to imagine the best meal you have ever had. And maybe it's your top three. Maybe there's something in there that you've thought about, oh, remember when I had that? I'd love to have that meal again. So just take a moment now to imagine the best meal you've ever had, and consider the place you were in or the people you were with. or just the whole ambience of that moment. The best meal you've ever had. Who were you with? Where was it? If you use your senses to try and unpack that a little. So with that in mind, we come to the first part, which is our Lectio. And I've paired that with the children being able to have relationships and needing relationships to develop their spirituality. Lectio can sometimes be considered as the food in one's mouth, and sometimes you can even think of it as part of the menu that you're reading or the food sitting in front of you. It's that pre-eating experience that you get to really see it in front of you or smell it or, you know, just have that experience. So in the Lectio sense, it's where you get a passage and you might be hearing it, reading it, just like we did with Bruce before. But we sense the text as living. It is a living thing, like our food in front of us, it has the steam coming up, or it might be very, very cold and there's condensation. It's living as well, and it enriches our awareness of God's and his creation. For children, this is something that we want to give them, that experience. We can talk about it all we want, but we want to give them that experience. These can happen through relationships to begin with. Our relationships, if healthy and authentic, open us to others who expand and enrich us. To love another person is to see the face of God, coming from Les Mis. And I think that comment is really powerful when we think about who's around us when we're eating that best meal ever. We're sharing that meal and that experience with people around us. So God's with us when we do our Lectio as well. In the classroom context, educators facilitate this ambience. They create this space that promotes relationships that build the transcendence. They have a chance to become an active listener with the living words of this Lectio experience. But they do it with their peers too. I mean, in the classroom, it's generally not just one child, there's many. So we want to give them that experience together. They get to explore that. So my second thought for you, thinking back to that amazing meal that you imagined earlier, how did it feel when that meal had hit your palate? How did it feel when you were able to take that first, I don't know, lift the spoon or the fork up and have that first inhalation or that first very sense of what it is you're just about to have? Think about your five senses. Think about your actual emotional feeling. How did it feel when that meal had hit your palate? Maybe there were comments around you about the smell, or maybe there was an initial flavour. How did it feel? Then we look at our analytical side, our inner wisdom for our kids, and we can explain this to them as the chewing. So you've taken the bite and now you're ready to chew. So then when we do meditatio, which is the second part of Lectio Divina, we want to make this relevant and easy for children to understand. So they're looking at the literal information of the passage, can be given with pictures or audio, similar to how we had today, getting them to understand what that passage meant and how to unpack that. Then they're going to be able to think about what it means. What does that mean for them? May they change their action? Maybe there's a behavioural idea they may get from that passage and think, oh, maybe I need to do this differently. The next idea is thinking about their faith journey with God. I remember when I was in primary school, we used to do meditation, very, very guided, but I always remembered when we were meeting Jesus in the garden and going for a walk with Jesus. I remember that very, very vividly, and I think this idea of going on a journey with God is really powerful for children to visualize. So they may be able to take that from a text. What's your journey with God looking like? And finally, a really tricky, I imagine it to be tricky with children, when we think about kind of this eternity with God, it seems huge for them to understand, but it's a way to try and help them learn about healing and learning how their walk is for eternity with God. So when children are given a space and an opportunity to experience this, they get to question or contemplate or think about different possibilities. They get to build their relationship with God and increase their own inner wisdom. And so we want to build their wisdom as well within this. And they're chewing that food. They're about to break it down. So my next part then would be, back to your favourite meal again. We're going to keep coming back to that. Why was that experience unique now? So you've had your meal. Why was that unique and something that you could not, I apologise, hang on a minute. Why was that experience unique and something that could not be exactly repeated in that exact same way? So why was that meal and that experience so unique that maybe you can't repeat that in the same way again? So if you think about the best meal you had, where you were, how was that moment unique? How is that an experience that we cannot repeat in the same way, for the exact way? Perhaps you're not a chef and you can't exactly get the flavours. Or perhaps the same people couldn't all make it to that event again. Maybe the management changed and the service became bad. There's lots of different reasons why we can't exactly repeat that unique, and that's what makes it a unique experience. So my final part I've put together is, I've actually put oratio and contemplatio a bit together with this idea. We're extracting the flavours of the meal, and then we get to savour it, which is probably my favourite part. For children, this is their moment to begin unpacking their transcendence a lot more. They have an opportunity to pray, because in oratio they get to say their prayer and have that contemplative conversation. And they also get to experience the wonder and awe of the meal, or in this case, the passage as well, or this spiritual experience. And I think without an educator focused on wonder to awaken and keep this alive for our kids, it can be lost. If a child is to keep alive his inborn sense of wonder, he needs the companionship of at least one adult who can share it, rediscovering the joy, excitement, and mystery of the world we live in. I've forgotten to write who wrote that, but it's in my paper. But it's a really incredible idea that our kids need us to give them this, and we're walking with them. And I think in the classroom, sometimes as teachers, we're so content-driven and focused that we forget that we're actually on a journey with these children. We're like their journey partner. We get to walk with them while they're at school and give them these experiences and help to nourish their spirit too. And if at least they have one person that they can start to walk this journey with, they get to share that with someone. It's not just, you know, almost maybe a figment of their imagination if they just think about it that way. They have someone to really talk to about it and go through it with. So once you have completed the meal, what happened after? And what was your response to the reflection on that experience? So you finished the meal. You might be a little bloated, might just be like, well, that was food coma, like that's been me the last 2 days. But how did you feel? Did you need to give compliments to the chef? Did you tell the wait staff how incredible it was? Maybe you gave them some feedback. Maybe you hoped for some more. And then maybe you're sitting there in that state and going, wow, that was good. That was the best meal I ever had. So just take a moment to think about your response then to that meal. How did you savour that experience? And in some way, pray for it or about it. Maybe you did thank someone for it. Maybe you walked out the door and thanked the staff. Maybe inside you just hoped you could have that again. Hope that never ended. Maybe everyone at the table made amazing comments. Everyone was full of praise, or everyone was grateful. So the final part of my presenting part, I want to reiterate that immersion, experience and opportunity, as well as guidance and partnership, can enhance our children's spirituality. Lectio Divina is only one way we can do it, but there are others. And there's many studies that have been done, and we've even gone over it today. Nature is a huge part of this. This can even be done in nature too. But we can provide this in a school setting, but we do need to equip our staff, our teachers, families, students with this opportunity and the learning and teaching for it, but it can be done. So I think my other part of my interactive, I got you to think a little more inward just then, right throughout, but now I want you to be able to chat to someone around you, and I want you to think about a time when you were younger. Was there an experience that you had that might have filled you with a bit of wonder and awe, and maybe you couldn't find the words to explain it? So perhaps you had an experience. It doesn't have to be food related, although it can. And it filled you with this sense of wonder and awe that maybe you just didn't know how to explain it. And did you have someone to connect with about it or guide you through it? So I want your discussion to be a little bit about what that experience might have been, if you feel comfortable to unpack that. It can be just very short, doesn't have to be too long. And think about, maybe was there someone that you could could unpack that with, or was it something that you kept to yourself? But maybe why? Were you afraid of judgment, or maybe you thought someone wouldn't believe you? So think about maybe that, and you can have that discussion. I'll leave this up. My final thought, and I'll have a quote in a moment, but last year I went to the Northern Territory, which was in itself sometimes an incredibly spiritual experience because the nature there is so unique and beautiful. And I thought to show these pictures because they reminded me of a unique experience that perhaps I could never repeat again due to weather, money, all kinds of things. But these were the moments that gave me some wonder and awe. And lucky enough, I had Xavier with me that I was able to share that with him too. So I was able to connect with someone about that moment too. And I did have a final quote, which I forgot to put in, but that's okay. Give me one moment. Have a think about what you might say, and I'll find that quote for you. Okay. C.S. Lewis said, "Miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world, in letters too large for some of us to see." So I'll let you have some time to chat with each other and discuss that too. Thank you.